Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Out of the Question podcast. Back in October of 2021, I had the pleasure of meeting and being interviewed by my guests today, Jesse and Courtney Pfister. As I recall, my interview was their 12th for their Love of Life podcast when we discussed a variety of topics, but especially focusing on Christian education. Currently, when I looked on their website, there are a total of 64 podcasts that they have done in the midst of a growing family, homeschooling their children, and making a living. Today, we are going to explore the question, how do I use my God-given talents in service to the kingdom of God? Hello, Pfisters. Thanks for joining me.
Hello. How are you, Andrea?
Well, doing well. So if I'm not mistaken, you had 3 or 4 children back in 2021?
Four.
And how many do you have now?
We have 6.
You have 6. And one is a very recent arrival.
Yes. He's 3.5 months old.
Okay. Now, give me a little bit of background on you two. I always like to know how couples met and what their vision is, because as far as I know, you just decided this would be good service to the kingdom and you created this Love of Life podcast. So give us the background of you two and then also how the podcast came about.
You do the background on us.
Okay.
You like this story a lot.
And besides, the wife usually tells the truth anyway.
That's very true.
Yes. So we both went to Lindenwood University. That's around where we live. It's in St. Charles, Missouri. And one night I was coming back to my dorm. I had never seen him on campus. And there's a white gazebo right outside of my dorm. And some of my friends were like, hey, Courtney, come over here. And so as I walk up, there's a guy with long surfer hair playing guitar in the white gazebo. And that was this guy. So he caught my attention right away. And we had some talking that night. And then that kind of led us to communicating a little bit more and meeting in person and realizing he wasn't just a really cute guy who could play guitar, but he had some depth to him. And we had similar backgrounds. We're both raised in Christian homes and we really hit it off. The first time we hung out, we met around lunchtime. And we hung out until, I think, 5 a.m.
Walking around campus and talking. We've been talking ever since.
We have.
The conversation has continued.
Right. So, Jesse, would you concur? Was that your take? Is that the first time you had seen her?
That was the very first time I saw her. Yep. It was just this cute girl with very short blonde hair walking towards me and my sister playing guitar. And yeah, we just kind of hit it off. We had a lot of banter back and forth, good conversation right up front. And I thought, wow, who is this person? And no idea she was a fellow believer or anything. It was just, you know, you're young and meeting people and those kind of things happen on a college campus. So
what year was that?
2008.
And how soon after that did you marry?
So we met May 6th. 2008, and we got married June 13th, 2009.
Oh, okay.
So we got engaged that November. So it was about a year and a month later that we got married.
Okay. So fast forward the clock. Podcasts are a thing. How did you, number one, decide that doing a couple podcasts would be a good thing? Because that's not the norm.
Right.
And the second thing is how you titled it the way you titled it and what influenced that.
Sure. I think because it's not the norm, I felt like there was a window of opportunity, perhaps, with a couple who is a Christian to talk about Christian things, Christian life, kingdom building, all of the various facets of that make up our Christian life. And one day I was actually sitting around and I had been reading Rush Dooney. I had been reading Douglas Wilson, many others. And it kind of struck me. I held my phone in my hand and I thought everything that I am watching, listening to, give, you know, that the eyeball sees is an influence and this is influencing me. And I thought, well, I also want to, in my own, even if it's a small way, be an influence to those that might listen or see us as well. So I thought a podcast would be a really good idea because we can talk about these things. We can talk about Christianity. We can talk about raising children, going to church, and the people that will listen. And it's been really cool because it's not just Christians that listen to us. There's non-believers that are tuning in and will write me questions personally, things like that. And so I think being able to just be in a small way, be an influence to anyone that listens is very powerful, because there are plenty of podcasts out there, and there's wonderful podcasts that aren't necessarily in name Christian. You know, you can learn about fitness, you can learn about living, building a small home, whatever. There's all these different kinds of podcasts, but I felt like with what our content is composed of, it was rather unique.
Okay, so you gave it the name Love of Life. I know where you got the name, but share with the audience how you got it.
Yes. It's from specifically from a Rush Juni talk that I saw that we watched on YouTube. And he's quoting Proverbs chapter, is it eight? I believe it's Proverbs chapter 8, where he's essentially Christ or God is speaking in the second person of the Trinity, saying that all those who hate me love death. And Rush Juni compares that to, instead of death, is that in Christian living, it's about the love of life, that Christ essentially is giving this idea that what we do and structure our lives around is about the love of life itself. So all right. I thought, hey, let's title it the Love of Life Podcast.
Yes, and you did. And I remember sharing it with a couple of people, and they were really taken not only by the quote, but how you presented it. And I remember one person said, these people know what they're doing. And they were impressed by that, because, you know, sometimes you can have good intentions. And we all start off with, I mean, if we look back, I've been doing my podcast now for 10 years. And I look back at the first couple of ones and I'm like, ooh, I could have done that so much better. And which is good, because we even get sanctified in our work. But broadcasting is not something, or public speaking is not something that's foreign to you, Jesse, is it?
Right. Yep. I was a communications major in college. I've done a lot of different things in front of a microphone as well. So I think, a lot of that just kind of comes, I don't say natural, because it comes with practice. It comes with just doing it. And I think that too, you know, you were actually our very first interview on our podcast. We had many interviews where we were talking to one another, but the first person that we wanted to talk to, ironically, was actually you. Oh. And so you were actually number one. All of it comes with a lot of practice. And there's times where on occasion I'll look back and see our interview and go, oh, we could have done that better. We could have asked these questions. There's always that kind of thing, but you don't learn unless you do. So you have to get out and you actually do something and get better at it.
Right, right. Oh, I hear. And now I also see, for those of you, we're not doing a video thing here. There's a new person who obviously wants to be on the podcast as well. And what's that person's name?
This is Noah.
Noah. Okay. Noah. Well, Noah, kind of chill there while your mom and dad answer my questions and share their vision, of which Noah is one of your visions, the idea of to be fruitful and multiply and building up the next generation. So some practical questions. So it's been a number of years. You've had a number of episodes. Did you stop when a new child came along? Did you stop if you suddenly had to find some additional work to go ahead and add some more, resources to the till?
Yeah, well, even getting started, if I can go back just a little, he really felt prompted, like, hey, we need to do this and it needs to be both of us. And I thought, I don't really want to do that. I mean, for the influence, I see where he was going and I loved that vision, but it's kind of uncomfortable too. Not everyone wants to be, out there for the world, on the internet and all that, but he kind of tricked me into getting started. He's like, listen, we're just going to start with what we have. We're going to record on a phone. We won't do video yet. We're just going to get this thing started. And he's like, let's just have a conversation. And we won't use this. So our very first podcast is actually just audio. I don't even know if it's out there.
It is.
Okay. And we talked about prayer, and then he's like, okay, this is going up. This is our first one. It's like, what? This is our first one. Like, yeah, it's great. Let's go. And then from there, we've changed out our equipment a little, but just getting started, just doing it, even if it feels kind of uncomfortable, even if, like, you see the value in it, that people are out there talking about things that are some people are talking about death. Some people are talking about celebrating their atheism or whatever else. So we know the giver of life. So if we're having these conversations and it sharpens anybody, then great. It's worth it. It's valuable. But yes, we did take a long hiatus after somebody.
After everybody. we have had to take multiple breaks. Yeah, which is why there's only 64 episodes in the three and a half years that we've been doing podcasting.
Yeah, and since we came back after Noah, after we had him, we've tried to be very consistent. We've tried to do one once a week, and sometimes they're very late. We don't get to record until everyone's in bed and settled, but yeah, we see it as a valuable thing.
So a lot of people will think like, well, I could never do that. And maybe those people who think that should never do that because that's not their gifts.
Sure.
So you could have put your efforts into something else. Did you feel that God, I mean, obviously Courtney just told us that she sort of got roped into it, which is fine. Did you feel that you had a perspective, Jesse, that needed to be shared because it wasn't already out there?
Yeah. And I think our lifestyle is different. We work from home, both of us. She works part-time. And then I work down in our basement as a voiceover artist and have a little studio down there. But we homeschool our children. We love the Lord. We, you know, there's many things, I think, from our perspective that I feel like would be very valuable to share with an audience. I felt like it was a valuable asset, potentially.
And we have a lot of just conversations. Yeah. And most of what we talk about on our podcast come out of real conversations that we've been having or that we do have. And sometimes when you just overhear somebody else talking about something, it gives you an idea or it makes you go, oh, I'm going to try that. Or we watched years ago, just a short clip of Douglas Wilson and his family, and they were singing the doxology all around the table. And Jesse's like, that is awesome. I've not seen that before. We should do that. So we've incorporated that into a family liturgy that we have in the evening after dinner, most nights. But it was just from this simple clip of watching another family do that. So knowing that we're so easily influenced and we pick up things and good ideas from other people, just throwing out other ideas and something that we say could be valuable because we're largely talking about the Lord and family.
Yeah. Another example of that is we have talked about in the last few years, we have had a shift in our understanding of contraceptives and birth control pills and stuff like that. So we've talked about that in our podcast, and we had one watcher or listener come to us a year and a half ago and say, hey, I saw what you guys were talking about, what you guys did. And we've also decided to not take any birth control anymore. And they've had a baby. So if one thing has come out of our podcast for sure is at least one other person has had a baby that we know of.
Right. And see, I think it's important because I know when I talk to people, a lot of times when you bring up biblical law in the application of it, not just in the theoretical, that people stop and think like, wow, I call myself a Christian, but, right? Mm-hmm. And I've had many a conversation with parents whose children just got married and will say, we hope they wait before they have children. And I'm like, why? So they can get to know each other. Well, why did they marry someone they didn't know very well? That doesn't make a lot of sense. And then you'll hear things like, I'm too young to be a grandma or some nonsense like that. And then they actually encourage their children to use contraception. And I get them to consider, who are you battling against? Are you want to make sure that God in no way, shape, or form gives you a child? Is that who your enemy is here? And I'm not sure I've changed a lot of people's minds, but hearing people discuss it and talk about the process, because I've known people who had the mindset that you should only have the amount of children, carbon footprint, and all this and that, and men who have had reversals of vasectomies and God has blessed them with children. These are concepts and conversations people don't want to talk about such things, but I think it's important, especially as you shared how your ideas and how your perspective changed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And specifically with any type of hormonal contraception, we were not aware of it, but the way that it works, there's three different mechanisms that it uses, and one of them is an affront to life. And we read a book that kind of details some of the medical language that's changed over the years that makes it to where you can ask your gynecologist, like, is this any way abortive? And they can tell you no, based on the literature they've been given. But contraception can either make it to where a woman doesn't ovulate, which, yes, to your larger question, are you trying to prevent life at all costs? But it's not an abortive function. Right. It can also make it to where sperm cannot get through, and that is okay. But the third thing that it does, which is why it's so effective, is it thins the uterine lining of a woman's uterus so that if there is a newly conceived child, the embryo can't implant, right, which is an affront to life, and you don't ever know how it's working. So for us, when we learned that, it was not something that we had been taught. We couldn't use it anymore.
Right, right. All right. Well, one of the things I love here is that real life is happening.
There's a baby yes, who, it is.
There's a baby who obviously wants to share some of his perspectives and things like that. So, yeah, that's fine. And that is what family life is all about. You're getting ready to go to church and somebody's in a bad mood. You're getting ready to go to grandma's house and somebody just messed up the outfit that was the only one that was currently clean at the time. And I think what's important about looking at family life as it is, rather than how everybody wants it to be. I had a conversation with a woman the other day and said, when you were raising your children, did you ever think it was hard? And I said, yes, all the time. Did you ever feel like, I don't really want to do this today? Yes, all the time. And so having a couple that's living it, having a couple that I imagine there are times when you sit down to do this podcast that maybe you're not all that thrilled with the other person because life has happened right before you turn on the camera. Talk a little bit about making it real.
Yeah. Tell me about making it real, Courtney.
Well, I mean, definitely there are those moments.
There's days where we go, it's Monday or Tuesday, whatever night we do the podcast, and we go, do we really want to do it tonight? We've had so much going on, and this has happened, and that's happened, and need to repent of this, and, you know, kind of thing. And it's very real life. It's very much in the trenches and in the mud kind of thing. And then I would say not 10 out of 10 times, though, when we even have a hard day and we do decide to slog through it, push through and do the podcast, there's always this extra, and I guess it's a blessing. We always end it and go, we're so happy we did that. Like it really, as soon as we turned it on and we started talking about these things, whatever the conversation is about, we always get off and go, that was a lot simpler than what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I think he's right. I think there's a blessing in just doing it, even if you're not in the mood or you don't feel like it, or it's been a crazy hectic day. We can see there's fruit in just persevering.
Right. Mission is important. I don't think you would recommend that someone just starts doing something like this on a fluke. Did you actually write down or have a stated mission? Like, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. And this is why we're going to keep doing it.
I think there was a stated mission. For sure there was in conversation between the two of us. And I told her up front, just that first and foremost, we did not start a podcast for profit. Now, I realize there are people out there and, you know, that's great. That's wonderful. They want to have as many subscribers as they can get. And that's great. And they want to grow their channel in such a way that allows them to quit their jobs and do that. And I, up front, our very first conversation about this was, this is not necessarily income replacement kind of thing. In full transparency, to this day, we haven't made a dollar off of our podcast. It's not about the money. It really is about the influence for us with this particular venture that we do. It's about just putting ourselves out there and not necessarily monetary blessing that we received by it, but we've received a lot of fellowship blessing. There's been other people in our life that have come along and, hey, I watched this. And then we get in a conversation with them or we have them over for dinner or whatever. But there's been extra blessings outside of it that are beyond the monetary value that podcast can bring many people. And that's great if it does. Or
somehow, if you're not being monetized, I think you can be a lot freer to share your point of view rather than, oh, I can't upset this person. I mean, legacy television media, they have to make sure that they don't offend their sponsors. And if the Holy Spirit is your sponsor, you will know when it's time to continue and when it's time to stop. But how do you keep it? I mean, so these are conversations or ideas that come across on the dinner table. How do you keep it fresh so that when you're actually doing the podcast, you're not playing Jesse and you're not playing Courtney? You are Jesse and you are Courtney.
Yeah, sometimes we will say, hey, we haven't recorded one this week. Let's throw out some topics. What are some things we've been chewing on or we've had pieces of conversations about, or we just read this? And so we might list out a couple ideas and say, hey, let's talk about that tonight. And then if we start to talk about it right then, it's like, no, don't talk about it now. No, well, I want to explain. No, just wait. So we don't redo a conversation. It's something that maybe has been on top of mind, but we haven't, explored. I think that helps a lot.
It definitely helps keep it fresh.
Yes.
For sure. Because then it is kind of, we've just bullet pointed what we're going to talk about, but then the real conversation happens live.
That's something I had to learn, because I would have conversations beforehand and then I would be disappointed when I'd go back to when it was recorded and saying, but we didn't say this. Well, because we were already talking to each other, there didn't seem to be a need to say it again.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and things come out when you're just having a live conversation that sometimes are even better than if you had pre-had the conversation. You don't know where it's going to take you. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So what do your children think about mom and dad, the podcasters, the ones who can talk and
read and do all the other things?
Yes.
They like it. They really enjoy it. A few weeks ago, we had the privilege of actually interviewing our three oldest sons. And that was a real blessing. That was really great to get their perspective on life and homeschooling and church and things of that nature. And that was a really great podcast. We really enjoyed that.
I think they were excited to be included, too. And anymore, when they know we're doing one, then they want to listen. They want to hear what we've talked about. So that's neat too.
That's good. Have you had any negative reactions from family or fellow church members or anything like that?
Very little. There are times though where people in our, so Chalcedon is very post-mill. We are obviously post-mill as well. And Pado, there's certain stances that you can take within the Christian framework that do cause ire and angst among Christian brethren. And of course, when we're talking on a podcast, we're by no means trying to belittle, besmirch, or anything of that nature, but we do have very strong held beliefs regarding, say, eschatology or things of that nature. So there have been times where people have reached out privately and said they didn't particularly like such and such a topic or a viewpoint and how wrong we are because we believe X, Y, Z, kind of thing. But it is it's far, far and few between.
Yeah.
Very little.
Yeah. If anything, I think it makes some people think about things that they hadn't previously, or, when we list some of the scriptures or some of the books even we've read to help us understand, like paedobaptism, that's been, it makes people curious. Then they're like, oh, maybe I need to get that resource or check into that. Or maybe I've always dismissed that and maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that is something that is in the Bible. Even if there's not a chapter and verse you can name specifically. So,
yeah.
One of the things about family life is that your children, and you as well, but your children provide excellent stories. I mean, who doesn't have the stories? Not so much of, let me tell you when everything went well. It's, let me tell you about the disaster here or there. And I used to share the stories with people and they would say, oh, you should write a book. Well, I ended up writing two books, children's read aloud storybooks. And the whole purpose of it, these were real life things that happened. And of course, we changed the names, as I say, to protect the guilty. In other words, it's useful to find out how a Christian family, a growing Christian family, which now you have, six children, how you go about dealing with the things that make you want to pull your hair out. Because eventually you both, I don't know, well, Jesse has a little gray hair, but you're going to have gray hair like me. And that, according to the second chapter of Titus, that's what we're supposed to do. And it's not like, let me tell you how I did everything correctly. It's, let me tell you how I did this. I see you doing the same thing. I might not do it that way. Do you ever feel like if you share those things in your recorded conversations that people might think less of you?
I think there's certainly that inclination to think that. I mean, we're human. And we also, I think we're careful not to single out a child if we're telling a story to just say a boy or a girl, or, you know, to cause that, give that protection for them. But anyone who's a parent knows that these things do happen. You're a few minutes from hosting someone and your toddler has decided it's a good day to go to the bathroom when they're supposed to be taking a nap and paint their crib. That truly happened just a few days ago. And, you know, you have the normal reaction of that is not, that shouldn't happen. It's disgusting. Oh my goodness. But then you also can, you know, we encourage each other a lot when the days are hard and to say, okay, but we can also see now we have 3 older kids and 3 younger kids, and our 3 older kids were once these ages of 0, 2, and 4. And it is crazy. And they do get into things, but we can see that then they become older and helpful, and we can start to see so much of the value that they then add to our other children and to our family, and so it's worth it. So I think that that balanced perspective is helpful, and that we need to be reminded of that, and knowing that everything we're doing unto the Lord, even wiping up gross things from our children, is valuable to Him, and that our hearts so often are what matter. And everyone needs that encouragement, especially when you're in the thick of it. So somebody might think, yeah, you overreacted, or that, you know, wow, if you have that many kids, that kind of thing happens. But then they might also go, oh, okay, well, I had a moment like that too. And yeah, that's right. I need to have the long-term perspective. I need to see that even those moments the Lord uses to sanctify and refine us. And
absolutely.
Show us
yeah.
We still need more.
And when we do fail, and I fail often, the Christian life is about repenting and seeing the sin of not walking in the Spirit, not having self-control or patience, things of that nature. And with 6 kids, it's easy to all of a sudden go, oh my gosh, I was fine 5 minutes ago, and now everything feels like it's completely broken down. And then I find myself, and it's very important for parents to repent to their children.
Yes.
when they sin, because you're teaching your kids how to repent by coming to them and saying, you know what, when I lost my temper or when I did this, that was wrong. And I repented to the Lord, and I'm repenting to you and asking you forgiveness because how I handled this situation wasn't right. Because ultimately, they're going to be parents someday, and we want them to remember, oh, my dad, even though he did this or did that or yelled at, you know, whatever, he modeled and exemplified an attitude of repentance, which is very Christian to have.
Oh, absolutely. And the advantage of, for example, if you're talking to a family now, you have 6 there, they have 1 and they're like, I don't think I could handle any more than 1, or they have 2 and like, that's enough. You know the end from the beginning, not the very end. Your children are not all grown and out of the house, but mine are.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you look back and the things you will miss. One of the things I had to deal with is I missed the noise. I missed the life. I missed the fact that I could go through a day until my husband came back from work and I was talking to myself, you know, the dog, how much the dog understood, who knows. But the point is that there are seasons and you need to walk by faith in all those seasons. So I don't know about you, Courtney, but I'm a list writer. We're going to do this with this, with this. Sometimes at the end of the day, there is no things crossed off. So then I will write something on the list that I actually did and I'll cross it off. And I'll go, I did that, you know. But not to have this idea that we have to paint the Christian life as problem-free.
Sure.
We have to paint the Christian life as service to God. And as parents, that's what you're doing. I can't tell you. I mean, I don't know what work you do from the home, Courtney. No doubt it's something that, you know, helps with the bottom line and things like that. But the most important job is a mother's job. Because I think Rush Dooney said somewhere in one of his lectures, it's like the mother lion. She keeps the father from eating the children. And In other words, she's the person who coordinates the whole household. She is the woman of the house. And that doesn't mean that she's not submissive the way the Bible says to, but they're so easy to get this stereotype. Like Jesse says, boo, and you must jump. I'm sure along the lines, you have healthy dialogue and you become the helpmeet that God gave him and he needs.
Absolutely. I mean, I think one thing I love about Jesse is he's very, very teachable. So, I mean, I do try to always respect his authority and submit, but he is quick to repent when he's wrong. And he wants to learn. We both want to learn and grow. So I feel like we do have a lot of just great back and forth conversation about things. And there's definitely a difference in how a mother interacts with the children and how a father does. And that's good. And that's right. And I think we bring great balance to each other. Yes.
So Jesse, do you find it a help or a hindrance that you work from home?
Both at times. On a personal note, I had many corporate jobs before doing what I do now. And I particularly didn't like much of the corporate environment that I was a part of. And so when we had three kids, working from home was simpler. Having six kids, and like I said, I'm a voice actor, so I have a little studio in my basement. And one of the requirements, the requirement of a studio is to be quiet. So there's the element of needing certain parts of the home to be quiet when I'm recording on a daily basis. So those things can be frustrating, and they can be landmines of, like I'm going downstairs to record a script, and then I tell Courtney, and then all of a sudden there's little feet pitter-pattering right above, and you know, and then a scream or a cry or whatever. So it can be frustrating, but overall, I do really like what I do and I enjoy it and it makes money. And so I would prefer working from home because I've had the best, I've had both worlds and right. I definitely prefer being at home.
And I imagine from mom's point of view, sometimes the correction, sometimes the situation needs dad. There's something about the dad voice. Oftentimes when my husband wasn't home, I was like, I wish I had that dad voice that I could just show up and now everybody would stand in line. So I think it probably helps, but you have to learn how to partition things sufficiently well so that, you don't hear feet steps and whatever you're doing, I guess.
Right. Right.
Yeah, for sure. The dad voice is something great. And I also think because our oldest children are boys, there's something very valuable of having so much of his time that he's not having a commute, that he gets to be so involved and hands-on teaching and training them. And I know it's not everyone's life, but I feel like it's especially valuable since we do have a lot of boys.
Well, I think for people who find themselves sort of locked in corporate America, you provide a ideal or at least a possibility that people could work toward that. There comes a point where when is enough enough and when is what you have too much? I mean, I was just joking with someone the other day. My life is full of things I have to take out of the way to get the thing I want. So like, why do I have all these things that are in the way? Well, there's this idea I may need it someday, but need it for what? Right. And so perspective has a lot to do with it. And children give you perspective. I imagine situations that arise are like, oh, we could talk about that in the podcast, or in a church situation where you see that there's conflict of vision between different, oh, that could be a podcast. And I know from having listened to your podcast, you're not into you're wrong, I'm right. You're into like, let's talk about it so that you might have something else to think about.
Yeah, for sure. And we go to a wonderful church and I'm very grateful for that. And a lot of things are taught, but it's also, you can't get everything you need to live the Christian life from just hearing sermons on Sunday. We're living it out every day and we're reading our Bibles and there's just a lot more to discuss. And I think when we see like, oh man, there needs to be more people talking about marriage or conflict resolution or, you know, things we've worked through or talked through, or, you know, I think it just adds to and can help the body of Christ in general.
Right. I have a friend who says oftentimes more things are caught than taught. That's a good way to look at it. So, Jesse, Tell me about Tripod Broadcasting. Are you Tripod Broadcasting, or are you part of a larger thing and that's where your podcast comes through?
So that is where the podcast comes through, or has come through. It has come through there on the in the past. It is not actually through there anymore. We are strictly YouTube oriented. Okay. So yeah, we're actually not involved with Tripod anymore.
So you weren't Tripod. Tripod was something you had...
Tripod, it's like a conglomerate of many podcasts, and it was broadcasting out through all of the other podcasting channels, Spotify, iTunes, things of that nature. But in the last go around, since we've come back after a long hiatus, we're actually not really associated with Tripod anymore.
So if people did an internet search, because when I was looking at it, it's Tripod still comes up and you're there listed under it. What's the best way for people to tune in for your content?
Yes. The Love of Life podcast on YouTube.
Okay. And I know you don't monetize it, but if somebody wanted to encourage you with a contribution, I don't think you'd say no.
I would not say no.
You'd not say no. Okay.
The double negative.
Okay. So tell us a little bit, Jesse, about what your voiceover job, because I've seen some of your videos. I've seen some of your impersonations. What's the think behind that? Like, first of all, how'd you get into voiceovers?
Actually, YouTube. I watched a guy. I was at my boring corporate job, if I may say, and I was at this job and I wasn't enjoying it. And it was a lunch break or something. And I came across this video on YouTube of this guy who said, "Do you want to watch me make money in my closet?" And I thought, okay, yeah, sure. And it turned out the closet was a little homemade studio. And so I thought, well, this is really interesting. This is really great. I really want to try this out. So my first several attempts failed. I tried to replicate that in my own closet and I couldn't get the sound right. It wasn't great. It took a few years of finally getting frustrated enough at the various work and jobs and things I was doing to go, you know what? I really want to make a go at this. I really want to do this right. So in 2017, I created out of PVC pipe, my own first little home studio that actually worked, and started to get clients from there. So a lot of my scripts are cartoon characters, impersonations. I do a lot of work on YouTube channels, things ranging from all kinds of information, channels about motorcycles or submarines or things of that nature. So I really enjoy it. I really like it a lot. And I've been doing it now for several years.
And it obviously pays the bills.
And it pays the bills. Okay. Yes, most of the time.
Right. So I think that's a really good example of what I referenced before. You want to do something, but you're not doing it now. And be willing to just step out there and try it, and not, if it doesn't turn out right the first time, to say, okay, God must not want me to do this. It's like, God wants you to try harder, fix this thing. You know, it's like, it's so easy to just decide that God doesn't want you to run the extra mile. Not according to the book of Hebrews.
Yes, that's so true.
Right.
So true.
So what would you say as a couple and then as individuals to a family that says, we so want to have dad at home, dad doing things he can do at home. He also hates his corporate job. What steps, what encouragement would you give them for that?
I'd say pray together, certainly. We through the years have prayed a lot out loud together, and it is amazing to see God's hand move. So pray. And then also, I think, what are you interested in? What are your inclinations? Research. Is it possible? Is it something that you can begin to do on the side and see if there's interest in that? I think if we're taking steps towards things, then oftentimes you might be aiming towards this, but then the Lord opens a different door. But it's as we're doing and moving and praying that he guides our steps.
So is it scary as the wife to hear your husband say, I'm really going to make a go of this? And you're like, but that corporate job brought in steady income.
For me, no. And I might not be the typical person.
She is a bit of an anomaly as a wife, because there's nothing that I've been interested in where she has ultimately just said, no, don't do that. That's a terrible idea. If I really am genuinely interested in something, she is a really good, loving helpmate who God has given me. And the word says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and has obtained favor from the Lord. And her particular attitude towards me as a husband is one of which is very supportive. Not, she doesn't really think, oh, you could just go be a rocket scientist tomorrow or something of that nature. But she definitely will get behind what I'm doing and say, I support you for rich, for poor, for better, for worse. I'm here for you. In a very biblical sense. So she is very much an anomaly of a, I don't say a typical woman, but I know that not every woman is like her. Well, I am of course biased. Yes.
Well, I would expect you to. So how about from your end, Jesse, you took a step at one point, you said here, 2 weeks notice or whatever you said, yeah. What was the threshold that made you think that you could do that?
I never really knew for sure I could do it. It really is what I would say to someone who's sitting in a corporate job, really frustrated with life or whatever place they're in, is you really have to live one day at a time and you have to take one step at a time. So you might not get from here to there in a month or even a year. It might take several years, but if you are just moving at a granular level, if you're plodding along, if you're daily or every other few days researching and then trying to take your research of what you're learning via books or podcasting or wherever you're getting your information about what you're interested in, if you're just taking it and you're taking it in micro bits saying, okay, today I'm going to say it's voice acting. I'm going to research this and then I'm going to apply it. And I'm going to apply it by buying my first very inexpensive microphone. Something of that nature. So it really is. It's. I like your idea of making a list. Courtney makes a lot of lists, and it really is saying, here's what I have to. The ultimate goal is, I want to work from home. I want to do this. I want to do that. But what you have to do is take it all in micro bits and small steps, and then sort of whittle away and eat that elephant bite by bite. You can't eat an elephant if you wanted to eat an elephant. Not that people do, but you can't eat it all in one big gulp. It's got to be one little chunk at a time.
Okay. Last question, because the troops have been very quiet, so I don't want to push my luck
here. I think they're alive.
A lot of people think that the next child just kind of breaks the whole system. Have you found that when children are added to your family, it actually becomes a burden, or do you say, no, actually we operate better with more children?
0 to 1 was our hardest transition, having no children and having one. And he was a very fussy baby, but I say fussy babies make the best children because he's a wonderful child. That just the rhythm and the schedule and the, you know, keeping a tiny human alive 24/7, that responsibility, especially since he was not a content baby, was difficult. But since then, yeah, no, we can see that children are a blessing. And once you're not in man-to-man coverage anymore, you don't just fall apart. You figure it out. We think all the time, like, oh, we would have thought this was so hard when we just had two and we thought we were at max capacity. And now we have six and it just works. God gives you the grace you need with more. And then we also have the blessing now of seeing our older children really come alongside and help our younger children. And what that's teaching them, what they're learning to be caregivers and to be helpful and to be a part of a larger thing that does require something of you, because something is always required of us, no matter how old we get. That is neat too, to see them take on responsibility and to see the relationships that form between our children and the blessing that they are to one another. And the things that they come up with. I mean, they definitely aid our family. I mean, our sons, they are doing everything with our garden. They take care of our chickens. Like, they've taken on responsibilities leading by their interests that are like tangible blessings to us, which is really, really neat to see. And there are moments and there are seasons where it's hard with different ages. 2 is particularly a difficult age when you have a curious child.
Yes.
Come up with things and get into things. But then you see other ages and it's like, oh, they really mellow out, or they, that discipline starts to really bear fruit and you see that. So I think the Lord does give you what you need for the children that he gives you. And even in the crazy moments, they're rewarding moments too.
And just to assure you, the crazy moments make the best stories. Later on, when you're telling the story, I've never dyed my hair because my husband asked me not to. And so I never did. But people say, I love your hair color. And I'll say, okay, this side of my head was daughter number one. This side of my head was daughter number two, because that's part of it. But when you're looking back, the blessing is, I referenced the children's books. My older kids, you know, they look and go, yep, I remember that. Yep, I remember that. Yep, that's how it happened. Yep, you know. And it's funny, you don't think it now because your children aren't, I mean, my children are probably your age. So, you know, in that regard, when they say, thank you for what you did. Thank you when I was doing this, that you didn't let me get away with it, things like that. And then you realize that this is service to the Lord. It's not to build your ego, because let's face it, sometimes our children just don't act like trophies. So we're not exactly interested in putting them up on the shelf saying, look at us. But I think when you're honest and you talk about that, sometimes parenting is painful. Yeah. That you're not doing disservice to God. You're just saying, hey, this is the most important job I've got, so I might as well do it right.
That's yeah, right. And God is a father. He knows it's painful.
And we are his children.
Exactly. We are his children, so he knows it's painful. But I also, you know, we can see people who later in life talk about the blessing that their children are when they're grown to them. And I've never heard anyone say, yeah, we overdid it with that last one. We should have just stopped. We had just one too many. You know, nobody ever wants to give them back. Like, they are blessings and they require a lot of work up front, but then hopefully they'll be blessings to the kingdom of God and to you for the rest of your life.
Okay. So, Love of Life podcast on YouTube. And Jesse, I'd be remiss. I just want to hear a couple of your voices.
You just want to hear any cartoon voices and things like that?
Yeah. Just say something profound with your cartoon voice.
Something super profound with a cartoon voice.
Okay, I'll do it for you, Andrea. Anything you say.
That was really great. Believe me, it was really great.
Oh, there I go. Okay, well, very good. Hope we don't offend people with the last one, one way or the other.
Right.
That
was a cartoon, right?
That's a cartoon.
Anyway, thank you guys. And I appreciate the fact that your kids were allowing me to talk with you at this point when they're not all asleep, because it's the wrong time of day for them to be all asleep. Listeners, I hope you make use of listening to their previous podcasts and the ones that are to come. And as always, if you have any suggestions on people or topics you'd like us to cover, out of the question podcast at gmail.com is how you reach us. And we'll talk with you next time.